Starting a new series today, and again, a week late. This series was originally planned to launch on Mother's Day, and you'll see why in a moment. We're focusing on the role of a mother today, because we're continuing our focus on stories. I've told you throughout this year, we're looking at stories, and we just came out of a series where we focused on the first followers. Well, they were all men. Now it's the ladies' turn. We're starting a new series today called Follow Her Lead. And today we're starting with a very influential mom. Before we get too far into that, though, just a quick poll. Let's see a show of hands here. Between child birthing or child rearing? Who thinks child birthing is the more difficult of the two? So that means everyone here is seeing child rearing as the really potentially painful part. Amen? Yeah, well, back onto the child birthing part, though, I am going to tell you guys a couple of stories. One, I shared a little bit ago about how I'm really an idiot. My ADHD really gets the better of me at times. And during the 20,000-hour process, give or take, of Garrett, our oldest, being born, and Christy had the epidural, I was bored. I mean, because I didn't really have a whole lot going on. I was just hanging out in this room, you know, telling her, hey, you're doing great. What's on TV? You know, sorry. I wasn't that insensitive. But then there's this box that controls the epidural. Of course they got this locked out, right? I can't actually affect this thing. But it had buttons and lights. And it even made beeping sounds. So of course I'm going to play with this thing. And I shut off the epidural. Somehow we're still married. Somehow, when people come in and they're like, and Christy's like, hold on, I'm feeling things I'm not supposed to be feeling. And the nurse is like, what? How did this thing get shut off? And I'm like slinking out of the room going, yeah, what are you people doing? Thought you guys were the experts. You should know what you're doing here and trying to get away before Christy takes the needle out of her spine and jabs it in my temple. So that's from the first childbirthing experience. The second one, Nolan, was due either on Christmas Day or the day before or somewhere in there. And this is in Colfax this time. Very small hospital, not a whole lot of staff. And the doctor was like, yeah, by the way, when he's due, nobody's going to be here. People are going to be on vacation. So what do you think? We decided we were going to induce a few days before just in case. If we needed the extra staff, if anything went wrong, better safe than sorry. They said, yep, we can absolutely safely induce on this date. So we went in, stayed the night, and I'm trying to sleep. You notice how I'm making childbirth all about me, by the way. But anyways, I'm trying to sleep on this really, really bad love seat, hide-a-bed kind of a thing. Finally drift off, and then I'm being shaken awake by Christy saying, he's coming! I'm like, what? And I'm like trying to yell for people, and the nurse comes in, and she's like, the nurse says, oh, bleep. That's reassuring. And so they rush us from the room that we were in to the birthing room, which was right next door, and then she's like, I'm going to go find the doctor, and she leaves me. What am I supposed to do? And Christy's just like, chop, chop, things are happening here. And I'm freaking out because I was just asleep 38 seconds ago. And I'm not a morning person where I really just jive up and I'm raring to go, especially not to birth a child. All of a sudden, the room's spinning. And I'm doing this. And I'm about to go down like a sack of potatoes. When all of a sudden the cavalry comes rushing in and shoves me out of the way, and I'm like, oh, thank God, I'm going to go sit down. Yeah, again, somehow we're still married. I'm sitting over there trying not to throw up and pass out all at the same time. Nolan is born, and Christy's wondering where all the nurses are. They were fanning me as I'm sitting there just going from red to white in the face and everything. And Christy's just like, hello, hey, there's a baby over here. Again, I'm making it all about me. I don't know how all this happened. She is such a patient person that she has not killed me yet. Anyways, so I don't know, when it comes to child rearing or child birthing, I would say in my experience, the birthing process was really traumatic for me. You should all feel sympathy and pity for me. On the count of three, one, two, three. Aw, poor Sam. Yeah, okay. There you go. That just further illustrates what you all already know. I can be really dumb sometimes. But that's not the point of today. That was just for kicks. Today, again, we are focusing on moms. And the role of a mother, and as unbelievable as it might sound, in our society today, even the role of mother is being redefined. On government forms nowadays, the term mother is being replaced with birthing parent. I can kind of see some context for that because my mom is actually my stepmom. She's not the one who gave birth to me. So I could see it in that regard, but that's not really the term or the way in which it's being used all the time. It's just being redefined for some purposes to satisfy some other people's agendas and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not going to go too far down that road today. But if you really want proof, the ultimate proof, in my opinion, that the role of mother is being redefined in our society, the latest update, firmware update for my iPhone, includes the pregnant man emoji. What? I mean, political ideologies aside, that's just stupid. Because if you want to guarantee the extinction of mankind, let the men have the babies. We're not going to put up with that. It'll be done and over. But that is just absolutely ridiculous. The pregnant man emoji. We used to just call those guys fat. Sorry, that was totally off script. One of those things maybe I should have filtered before it came out of the mouth. Whatever. You guys are used to me by now. But no, perhaps now more than ever as a society, we need to reclaim the righteous role that mothers have. The vitally important role that mothers have. Now you're beginning to see where this is a week late for Mother's Day, but moms are important 365 days out of the year. Not just on Mother's Day, right? Oh, and by the way, I also am not going to go too far down this path today, but we also understand mothering is a larger role than just having given birth to children. There are women in our world that serve as mothers to children that are not their own. My mom is my stepmom. She didn't give birth to me, but she's my mom. She's grandma to our kids. We have some teachers in this room. They have hundreds of children, right? Because they're taking an active role in raising those children. So we understand the mothering influence goes far beyond just the kids that you have given birth to. And today we're launching our Follow Her Lead series with a look at one of Scripture's most influential and virtually forgotten mothers. This is a woman who had everything going against her as she sought to raise her son the way that she wanted him to when everything was stacked against her. She fought an uphill battle. And of course, her son didn't turn out perfect because he had a pulse. But when everything was stacked against her, her society, the culture, even her own husband, her child's father, was so ungodly and so wicked, she still swam upstream to try to influence her son in the way she wanted him to go. In fact, her son turned out to be such a good person, such a bright, shining example of someone who turns to God against all odds, that it's easy to see how her name gets completely lost, completely forgotten. And to be fair, she is only mentioned one time. Well, that didn't stop us in our last series, looking at the first follower. Several of those guys were only mentioned one time. We're also going to look at a woman today who all we have in Scripture is the legacy she left in her son and her name. Her name was Jedidah, which in Hebrew means beloved, but she gets eclipsed by, well, really by the two men in her lives, her very famous son and her infamous husband. Her son was Josiah, Judah's greatest king. The king who, the boy who became a king at 8 years old, and at the age of 26 led a complete revival across the nation of Judah. So let's take a look in 2 Kings chapter 22 to see the beginning of this story. 2 Kings 22, verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah from Bozkath. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. What Josiah did was, and during his reign, is he completely abolished idolatry throughout the nation of Judah. And not, he didn't stop at just tearing down all of these shrines and idols that people were worshiping all over the place. That wasn't good enough. He dug up the bones of false prophets, burned them, had them ground up, and then spread the ashes over all of these sites where this idol worship was taking place to completely desecrate that land forever. He was serious about his business. He was not going to accept any more of this false idol worship. He wanted it completely, totally, utterly gone, to the point where walking onto those sites where that type of false worship had happened would now defile you as a Jew, because you were walking on the ash, the bones of these false prophets that had been spread out over these areas. And now we have a summation on his reign as well. If we continue on in 2 Kings 23, go into verse 25. Never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart and soul and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses. And there has never been a king like him since. I feel pretty confident saying that any mom would feel justifiably proud if that was what was said about her son. But as awesome as Josiah turned out to be, we have to also remember the opposite influence that was in his life. His dad, the king that he replaced, King Amon of Judah, Jedidah's husband, who was a horrible, evil, corrupt king. So if we turn to 2 Chronicles, we kind of get an idea of what Amon was all about. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, starting in verse 21, Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 2 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as his father Manasseh had done. He worshipped and sacrificed to all the idols his father had made, but unlike his father, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Instead, Amon sinned even more. Then Amon's own officials conspired against him and assassinated him in his palace. But the people of the land killed all those who had conspired against King Amon, and they made his son Josiah the next king. Now, easy to react to this thinking, well, good riddance. King Amon got what was coming to him, right? But that's not why we're looking at this today. We're looking at this to contrast the lineage. Paternal lineage, dysfunction, evil, corruption, false idol worship versus maternal lineage, the other influence in this 8-year-old king's life. But also to further understand the family lineage on the dad's side that Josiah was shackled with, we have to look a little bit farther back to Grandpa, King Manasseh. He has the unique accomplishment of being remembered as the absolute worst king, the most evil, the most corrupt king in the nation of Judah. Basically, as King Ahab was to the nation of Israel, so Manasseh was to the nation of Judah. Let's turn back to 2 Kings, this time chapter 21, right at the beginning. Verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. His mother was Hephzibah. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the detestable practices of the pagan nations that the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. He rebuilt the pagan shrines his father Hezekiah had destroyed. He constructed altars for Baal and set up an Asherah pole, just as King Ahab of Israel had done. He also bowed before all the powers of the heavens and worshipped them. He built pagan altars in the temple of the Lord, the place where the Lord had said, "My name will remain forever in Jerusalem." He built these altars for all the powers of the heavens in both courtyards of the Lord's temple. Manasseh also sacrificed his own son in the fire. He practiced sorcery and divination, and he consulted with mediums and psychics. He did much that was evil in the Lord's sight, arousing his anger. Manasseh even made a carved image of Asherah and set it up in the temple. So, Manasseh not only continued this downward slide of the nation of Israel, or excuse me, the nation of Judah, but where his father Hezekiah had tried to correct some things and had torn down, Manasseh rebuilt and then went even farther beyond and clearly had some favorites among his children because one of them he sacrificed in the fire. It wasn't Amon, obviously. It's where it pays to be the oldest son, I guess. But one of them was sacrificed in the fire. All of these, and not only did he rebuild all of these shrines and temples out in the countryside, he put them right there in the temple in Jerusalem, further escalating the decline of the nation of Judah. And then we're told that Amon did everything that his dad, Manasseh, had done, continued this dysfunctional, evil, corrupt lineage. But then we can see where Manasseh gets even worse. Down in verse 16 of 2 Kings chapter 21. Manasseh also murdered many innocent people until Jerusalem was filled from one end to the other with innocent blood. This was in addition to the sin that he caused the people of Judah to commit, leading them to do evil in the Lord's sight. This is Josiah's heritage. This is the lineage that he's being handed. And now, before you start thinking, wait a minute, Scripture really doesn't say anything about how Jedidah influenced her son. We just have her name. I don't know if you caught this or not. So I'm going to bring all of our attention back to what we have about Manasseh. We also have his mom's name. Just Manasseh's mom. Nothing else. Just a name. In the case of Josiah, we have mom's name and her lineage, her father, and where he was from. Again, everything in Scripture is there for a reason. It all means something. I believe that we are given a little bit of the ancestry on mom's side as a contrast. Because if it's not important where Jedidah came from, why mention it? It's not mentioned for any of the other kings, just the name of the mom, who clearly continued with this legacy, the lineage, was going along with what her husband was doing in the nation of Israel and allowing her children to do the same. But this time it's, here's the paternal lineage of dysfunction and evil being handed down, but now we also have mom, who's from someone else, a different lineage. So in studying this, I do believe that Jedidah and her father are included as a contrast, kind of the source material for this change. Because do you really believe that it was just coincidental, accidental, whatever, that this young boy, thrust upon the throne at the age of 8, being handed a lineage of evil and sorcery and divination and all manner of false worship, just happened to love God? Just so happened to take it upon himself? God, you know, maybe it was his ADHD that all of a sudden was like, ooh, I'll go follow God today. And so he decided to completely abolish all of the temples and tear everything down and desecrate the sites where that worship was taking place and lead the entire nation into a renewal of their faith. I don't believe that would have happened by accident. It had to have been for a reason, and we have no other record of any other influence on Josiah other than evil dad, evil grandpa, and mom. I do firmly believe that all seeds bear fruit. I think that everything that parents, everything that mothers either do or don't do in the lives of their children bears fruit. It impacts our children. No pressure. Come on, none of us is perfect. But if all seeds bear fruit, we also need to understand the converse to that statement. All fruit came from seeds. Josiah's life clearly bore fruit. Obviously bore fruit. It had to come from somewhere. And where could those seeds have come from? Certainly not from dad and grandpa. Who does that leave us with? Mom. Giving a different lineage, a different trajectory for this young man's life. And honestly, I cannot even begin to imagine all the opposition that Jedidah faced. Entire culture stacked against her. Everything in her young son's life pulling him to continue the dysfunction that he was surrounded by, that his own father and grandfather built into the culture. And now at the age of 8, thrust upon the throne to lead a nation of people. There's immense pressure. And we have Jedidah trying to swim upstream in contradiction to everything that's going on around her, to try to lead her son and teach her son, instruct him to follow something different, to do something different. And I don't believe that this is going to be a shock to anybody's system to understand that today there are a lot of women, a lot of mothers who face similar opposition within our own culture, within our own society. We might not be sacrificing children to the fire out in the streets, but there's a lot stacked up against our kids. And there are a lot of women, either by choice or not, that are doing it on their own without the help of a positive influence in the form of a husband. For a myriad of reasons, there are a lot of moms who are fighting an uphill battle, sometimes doing it alone. For whatever reason, they struggle to influence their children towards God, onto a godly path, a path that honors God. And for those who are doing it alone, we're going to do something to help them. Now, here's where I go out onto an extremely hazardous limb by not checking my schedule with my wife before saying something. Next Sunday, after church, we're going to do some planning. Because there's been an idea percolating in my mind for a while, and it's time to stop letting it percolate, waiting for the right time, and just make a time. As a church, we are going to intentionally bless and honor some single moms. I believe that God is intentional in everything that He does. And somehow, He defied all of my expectations by clearing the path for us to purchase a home that has a really nice shop. It needs to be cleaned out. Maybe this will motivate me to do that. But we're going to pick a day and we're going to take care of some single mom's cars. We're going to change the oil, we're going to detail them, we're going to clean them, we're going to check under the hoods, look for any other maintenance issues that need to be done, and they're going to bring their cars, not to my house, they're going to bring them here. And then we'll have some people who want to work on the cars, take them up to my house and bring them into the shop, and we'll get under them and over them and in them and do all that kind of stuff to take care of them. But while those moms are here, they're going to get pampered. They're going to get their hair did. They're going to get their nails did. They're going to get all kinds of stuff. I don't care if we bring in a masseuse. Give them a massage. Something. I don't have all the answers. I ain't got it all figured out, but I'm pretty sure with our collective brain power, we can figure out exactly how to do this together. And then we'll put a date on the calendar, and we're just going to bless some single moms because they've got it rough. And we can sit around and wish there was something we could do. Or we could just do it. So there you go. Next Sunday after church, if you want to be part of planning this, stick around. Because we're going to bless and honor some single moms. And we're going to do it in a way that brings honor and glory to the name of our Lord. Amen? For today, I want to bring this into a close with an encouragement to all of our women and men. Don't stop. Don't give up. It's difficult. Raising children is difficult. Yes, it is. With all of my own experiences aside from the birthing process, the child rearing part is the hard part. That's the challenging part. It's also the most rewarding part. So don't give up. Don't ever back off. And don't let up in your expectations for God's best for your family. Never relent in praying for that and expecting the very best of God's blessings for your family. And also hold on to this truth. Light will always dispel darkness. Sometimes it doesn't show up exactly when we want it to, but it will. Light will always dispel darkness. And specifically for moms, Jedidas, take hold of the Apostle Paul's words to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Starting in verse 5. This is Paul writing to Timothy, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." It doesn't get much clearer than that. Paul completely, shamelessly blames Timothy's mom and his grandma for Timothy's faith. They started it. He continued it. Moms have a powerful influence in the lives of their kids. So don't ever stop. Don't ever give up. There will be times when, in the child rearing process, you will get frustrated. You will get discouraged. Don't stop. Don't give up. The light will always dispel the darkness. And never, ever underestimate your influence, and that goes for moms and dads. Never underestimate the influence that you have in the life of a child, no matter how old that child may be. You always can have the opportunity to have an influence in their lives. And understand also, Josiah had to choose. Timothy had to choose. You know, moms, grandmas, dads, we can't choose faith for our kids. But we can stack the deck in their favor, can't we? We can be an example, even in the midst of our own imperfections. By the way, you don't need to be perfect to be a leader. You just have to be honest. So in those moments, when you do mess up, own it. One of the most influential things that a mentor spoke to me when I was early in my role as a dad for our boys, I was getting really frustrated and really down on myself because I'm not perfect. I mess up. I make mistakes, lose my temper, do all this other kind of stuff. And was thinking, what kind of example am I giving to my kids? And he just said, you know what? Don't focus so much when they see you fall. Just make sure that they see you get up. Because we're not perfect. But when we make mistakes, moms, dads, own it. And make sure that they see how you get up. Because they're going to make mistakes in their life too. And we as parents want to make sure that they can get up again too. So don't ever underestimate your influence. But stack the deck in their favor. Give them opportunity upon opportunity to make the right choice. Guide them. Lead them. Understanding they have to make the choice for themselves. And they will. Given the time and the influence from Jedidah, whoever that is in their life. And so God, thank you. Thank you again for all of the moms that have come into our lives, for all the dads that have come into our lives to give us counsel and wisdom and to steer us onto the path, God, because I know all of those people came into our lives because they were following your lead, whether they knew it or not. God, you are so intentional and purposeful about everybody that you bring into our path, either to speak into our lives or to give us an opportunity to speak into theirs. And so continue, God, in your steadfast faithfulness, your relentless pursuit of us, that you keep bringing people like Jedidah into our lives to guide us and to lead us, and that you keep allowing us the opportunity to mentor others, to lead others. God, we want to see the very best of everything you have in store for us, but not as individuals, God, as families, as a community. So Holy Spirit, lead us into a deeper surrender so that everything that we say and everything that we can do can be a positive influence in the life of others. We thank you for your patience with us in this, God. We thank you for your empowerment to do this. We thank you for your guidance and your leadership. In Jesus' name, amen.